You're listening to Album Swap, a podcast about sharing music with your friends. Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of Album Swap. This is Brian McDonald, along with Fred Dees.
Hi.
Fred, this week, I think we got some momentum going. I feel like we're halfway to 8.
The ball's rolling.
I wanted to thank everyone for listening, tuning in this week. Just a quick reminder, you can check us out on social media at Album Swap on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. You can subscribe as well on Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, and just this week we added Google Play Store. Fred, this week we had some really interesting teaser tips that we threw out on social media.
A few of them.
Yes. Probably the most we'll ever have. Might set the record in the high bar.
Sure.
So the first one was Nile Rodgers, famous songwriter, guitar player. Second one was Omar Hakim. Then we had, as well, Paul Williams and Giorgio Moroder, or as he likes to be called, just straight.
Giorgio.
Omar Hakim, famous jazz drummer. Paul Williams, famous songwriter and actor. Anyway, so both of these, or all these musicians, worked with David Bowie, three of them specifically on Let's Dance, as well as on the Daft Punk album that we're going to review. And that was our teaser tip.
Teaser tips.
So the album I picked this week to swap is David Bowie's 1983's release, Let's Dance. This is an album that featured a lot of great musicians that we mentioned, Niles Rodgers being the producer and playing guitar on some of it, as well as Omar Hakim playing drums. Giorgio Moroder wrote one of the songs, and Stevie Ray Vaughan actually played guitar, and this was like right before he started his own band, and so we'll talk a little bit about that.
That's like the big hidden treasure of, I feel like, this album. People, you just don't know that, you know?
Yeah.
That he played lead on this album. That was a shock to me. A huge surprise.
Yeah, and I bought this album. This is actually the first David Bowie album I ever bought. My sister was actually a huge fan of his, and he was always a bit scary and creepy to me.
you mentioned that on like episode 1 or 2
of the
Album Swap.
I really liked this album a lot, and it was because of Stevie Ray Vaughan playing guitar, and it kind of melded with Bowie's sound and his vocals and all that. So, David Bowie, Let's Dance, that's the first album for the swap. So, Fred, what did you pick?
Yeah, so I gave you Daft Punk's album called Random Access Memories. It's the fourth studio album for the guys, French duo. They had some hits and stuff before, but this was an album where they're an electronic duo, electronic music music group, and they kind of went away from that, or at least from that sound. This was an album where they used all live instruments, even though they were recording them and then, you know, kind of chopping them up how they wanted the songs to go. There was no electronic element when it came to that. They did have like drum machines, but for the most part, they really wanted to capture that like that natural music sound. It was which to me was awesome, because when this came out, I wasn't into electronic music at all, and so I was very apprehensive when I listened to it, and it just like really just kind of grabs you, you know, like it has a lot of those songs that you almost you want to turn up in the car and like sing or like dance when nobody's watching kind of songs, you know, like
it has
that kind of guilty pleasure, but it's so good, like it's such a good album.
I read how they were in the old L.A. West Coast recording studios at Fleetwood Mac, and they were trying to capture that Southern California sound around the time of Rumors in the late 70s, and I think that's an interesting kind of challenge they take on in this album.
Yeah, for sure. I know it was supposed to be like a tribute to those 70s, 80s American music, particularly like Los Angeles, West Coast vibe kind of thing. They recorded it. So they recorded a lot of the different musicians in some of these legendary studios, like what, Capitol, Electric Lady was one.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, because they really wanted to capture that essence. So really, really, really dope album. You really get some cool feels to it. A lot of cool collaborations on it. Pharrell Williams is on it. Julian Casablancas from The Strokes is on it. Panda Bear. So it's a really cool album. I was really excited to throw it at you because I just knew that you hadn't heard it.
So. All right. All right, so those are our picks, and we'll come back and do. You want to do Bowie first, or
yeah, let's dance. Let's dance.
All right, we'll be right back.
You've been listening to Album Swap at albumswap.net. We will be right back. And we're back. We're going to go ahead and break down. You get it? That's a dance. It's a dance term.
Break down
because we're going to dance with Let's Dance, the David Bowie album. Let's Dance, 1983 was when it came out. It was his 15th studio album, and this was his best-selling album. So this is his number uno. Sold 10.7 million copies. It was actually nominated for the album of the year.
Yeah.
And lost to Thriller, which everything has lost to that. So
yeah. What a year to be up in for category.
What a year. And so little kind of bridge to the album that you'll be breaking down later. Daft Punk Random Access Memories actually won
one album of the year. Yes.
So boom, there we go. I guess that could have been another teaser tip to the Grammys. All right. I digress. So Let's Dance. This was one where David Bowie had worked with a producer for a while, like on a few albums, like consecutively. And so when this one was coming up, I think that producer was even like already planning, like put on his schedule to work with Bowie on the album without really knowing any schedules. And lo and behold, Bowie went to Nile Rodgers and said, I want you to make me a hit album, basically an album with a bunch of kind of more like poppy. I think commercially buoyant was one of the phrases that was used. But he wanted it to have those couple hits. He wanted it to have more appeal, I guess.
Yes. MTV.
And this
MTV had come out.
Right.
And it kind of changed the face
right about
of music.
This same time, yeah. Right? Yeah. And the music videos that came from this with
were
MTV were huge. Right. Right. Exactly. One of the stories goes that he took. There was a picture of Little Richard in like a red suit getting into a red convertible, and like he hands it to Nile Rodgers, and he said, "I'm not gonna. Well, I will do it, darling. I want my album to sound like that." It's just like, yeah, that right there. Like, just kind of go ahead before we start breaking, getting into the songs. Like, kind of have that mindset because that's what it is. This album was so much of like an '80s kind of pop sound, but very Bowie. Like the lyric, like the vocals were all straight Bowie. So a lot of this song, like this whole album, almost sounds like struggle's not the right word, but kind of like this back and forth between like a poppy '80s album and Bowie.
Yeah, like a right? Classic Bowie album. Yeah, his vocals are incredibly strong on this, and he finds he finds the right group of musicians. He kind of has a vision of what he wants to do. And you know, you mentioned the videos. He definitely came back with like a bit of a fashion statement like he had done before, but it was more this like very kind of clean, preppy look. So it was kind of like the thin white Duke, but cleaned up a bit. And
yeah.
I think that made him much more accessible to a wider audience because, you know, like I said, for me growing up, Ziggy Stardust and all that.
Sure.
Seeing the cover of like Diamond Dogs, I was just like, wow, he's a bit odd. I don't know about listening to him. You know, I didn't even really know Rebel Rebel and all those were his songs because I wasn't a fan that much. I was more into, say, Kiss and ELO and those type of bands. But anyway, he came out with this, and I think I did see the video before I bought the album. And it kind of got me interested, just the sound of the first song, Let's Dance. It had
first single. That was the first single.
The first single, right. Yeah. And it kind of had a little bit of that, you know, new wave sound that he'd come out with in the previous few years before. And, you know, and in my opinion, he kind of defined new wave for everybody else in some instances. But he really came out strong. I bought this album, and I told you it was the first Bowie album I ever bought, and just really loved it, you know, wore it out.
Yeah. Yeah, and it did. It had that more wider appeal. And I think one of the downsides to this that he said is it kind of it more or less backed him into a corner, like stylistically. Like, he said that he would go to shows and he wasn't sure like what they wanted, because this album isn't so much like a real classic David Bowie album. It was more or less supposed to be like a one off, you know, like yeah. He was just wanting to do this one kind of poppy, like commercial fun album, and that was going to be it. But because it was so successful, you know, more people come to the shows, and so they're expecting Let's yeah. Dance, and that's not Bowie. He said at one point, he said he was looking out and he said, I wonder how many Velvet Underground albums these people own, you know, because that was more of what he saw his typical or his preferred audience, right?
Right. I mean, was that, you know, that he collaborated with Lou Reed on lyrics on this album, and
he called this Let's Dance his Phil Collins years.
His Phil Collins years, yeah. And, yeah. And you know, he actually came back after that and did things like Tin Machine and to brought kind, it back to a kind harder, of get
more grungy, core, punky yeah. stuff, right?
But it was interesting that he was, you know, I guess cleaned up would be the best word.
Sure.
And it kind of went well with, you know, 1983. MTV, you know, Reagan America, all that. He was able to like plug into that hit machine that had been created by the Video Music Channel.
Yeah, no, for sure. So this is an album. We'll go ahead and jump into it here. So he played no instruments on this. He called it a singer's album. So Steve Ray Vaughan on guitars is one to definitely listen to. It also took, I think, 17 days to record this. A lot of one and two takes. Stevie Ray said that he didn't think there were any three takes. All one and two, which never happened. Bowie was known for like having very long like recording sessions,
being more experimental,
right?
Yeah, but, yeah, but I agree. I saw that. Like Stevie Ray said, he enjoyed it because he knew what he wanted.
Yeah, this is a very unique snapshot at an artistic shift in a very well known musician that we all love.
Iconic.
There we go. So yeah, we'll hop into it. So Modern Love is the opening track. So I love this track. So it starts off like it took me a while until I finally pegged it, but like Kenny Loggins' Footloose. It gets so stuck in my head. So we'll go ahead. We're just gonna play a little bit of this and see what you guys. Very Kenny Loggins, 80s. I love the drums. I love the drums on this entire album, but they just have that nice kind of poppy 80s feel and sound to it. And this song was the popular like encore song that he would come back out on.
Yeah, I think this was actually like the third single released.
Yep, and the music video was them playing.
Live. Yeah, right? He comes out. I remember it was pretty cool because they were up shooting him, and he just kind of comes out and struts a bit and goes right into it and full Bowie, you know, regalia and stuff. But it was really neat.
Yeah, yeah, no, a great opening track to this album, because it does like it kind of really encapsulates what the album's sound and like goals are. I feel like it really is just a great kind of start to the album. So next track, China Girl, number two. So this one was co-written with Iggy Pop.
Yeah,
it was off of Iggy's. He had a solo album before that. It was on like
it was the song he'd done, the idiot.
I think it was the name of the album, yep. And there was a track on that. So we'll jump into this. I love the intro, the drums on the intro. We'll hop in China Girl.
China girl, I feel
right? Classic Bowie vocals there. Such a cool song. So there's a huge debate over what this song's about, like whether or not it was some Vietnamese girl that Iggy Pop had met and fallen in love with, or whether or not it was about drugs. Now Roger said he thought it was about heroin and cocaine. China girl, references to those, and kind of like a nod to the drug scene of the drug community.
The opium trail.
And speedballs. Yeah, like that whole thing. And so that's why he says when he helped put this version of the song together that he wanted it to be a little more poppy, because he felt like that the irony of doing a poppy song about something so taboo, he just thought it was just really cool and really kind of humorous, you know? Yeah. And he said when he brought it up to Bowie just loved it. So that's where this went, but it still was never cleared up as to what this song is really about. So
yeah, it's hard to know. It was definitely a very popular song. I have to admit, I even burned out a little bit on it at the beginning, the poppy part. But at the end, it gets so good with the bass line and the kind of eerie vocals that Bowie does.
Stevie Ray's solo. He has a solo.
And Stevie Ray's solo reminds you what a great song it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is, I think, the first one where Stevie Ray Vaughan has a solo that's, I guess, kind of noticeable. Like, I know the first one he didn't even really do much. And this was one where you finally actually... you hear him kind of show his chops a little bit. And let's see, we're going to pull up. It's just a quick little solo at the end of China Girl. See, it's like a hidden treasure, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yes.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, man. That's so
it's
awesome.
Like he's tickling it almost.
He is. Oh, yeah. I love how you just have random classic Stevie Ray Vaughan like licks all throughout this album. It's awesome. Next track, Let's Dance. So this is the first single off the album. Yeah. It was one of the fastest selling for Bowie. So this is an interesting fact. It was his last U.S. single to hit number one, Let's Dance. And this is a classic one. Everybody's heard this. Stevie Ray Vaughan has a great solo. Now, everybody's heard the song, but now once you hear it, it's like, oh, man, that's Stevie Ray Vaughan. Yeah. Classic.
And I noticed this listening to it this week on Spotify, is they just have the remastered version, which is a little bit longer.
It is.
It's nice. More saxophone.
It's a few minutes longer, yeah.
Yeah. But I think, you know, what's interesting about this being the lead off track and hearing it first and saying that it's such a poppy sound was that I felt that this still had a bit of that tinge of, you know, new wave of the early 80s, you know, with the guitar, the way it's played, and the horns coming in, and a little bit of the sound effects. And Bowie's vocals, of course.
Perfect.
You know, it was like, I guess it was kind of poppy new wave.
Sure.
In some ways.
Whereas,
say, Modern Love was much more mainstream. Similar, I think, to like songs like Rebel Rebel, and some of those were you know, very familiar, you know, rock and roll.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you can definitely see like the Nile Rodgers effects on those songs. So next song, I'm going to hop down to the next one, Without You. So the intro, love the drums in the intro, and I love Steve Ray Vaughan he kind of dances around it a little bit in the intro. It's a really kind of, it's a cool use of Steve Ray Vaughan.
Thank you.
very, very 80s, you know, like, poppy, cool feel, though. Cool feel.
Yeah, and this had more, I think, closer to what he came out in the previous album, you know, a little bit more what he's doing with Brian Eno and some of those guys, new age, new wave. But I agree, it's and the mixing is so good.
So good.
You know, Bob Ludwig, or Ludwig, on the board, you know, captures all these brilliant drummers and bass players and guitarists and Bowie on vocals.
Yeah, the vocals are so strong on this song. We'll hop down to the next one, Ricochet. So I love like it has like a reggae beat kind of.
Yeah.
Like a very 80s intro with like a reggae kind of beat on the drums. The hi-hat, the bass drum is thumping along. And then the Bowie vocals, again, I feel like we say this a lot, but very classic Bowie-sounding vocals on this one. And this is a song, I'm only going to play a little bit of it, but at the end of it, whenever you guys go listen to the album like you should after listening to the to this podcast, there's an incredible C. Ray Vaughan solo at the end of it.
Yeah.
Random. Here we go, Ricochet. It's not the end of the world. And so this song, like you almost wish you could play the whole song because the chorus, like, is awesome, right?
It's strong.
Such a strong song.
It's got the horns in it, too, but
it's a nice little track for right there, probably on the B-side, I guess, of the vinyl.
Yeah. This would actually be side, too.
Right.
This would be the first song of side, too,
yep.
On the vinyl.
Yep, there you go. So next track, Criminal World. So this song... The beginning of it sounds like a Daft Punk song, like Nile Rodgers to a T, man. I'll go ahead and jump into this one, Criminal World. Such a cool,
it's got a funky,
cool
beat
like
to
funky
it.
Feel to it. Yeah, it's a cover song. A band called Metro played it.
Yeah.
So this song was actually used by the U.S. military to dislodge Manuel Noriega in Panama.
Oh, nice.
'89. There.
Nice. I
how
like
about that?
Fun fact.
Yeah, chew on that one. So this song, you can almost hear it too. It kind of sets up. We're about like 15 seconds away from a SRV solo. I'm gonna pick it back up. But this whole song like sets up for that. Like that Stevie Ray classic guitar sound. Something else.
It's
man.
Sick. I mean,
it's so good.
And see, I think the beauty of this is like the first three songs are the hits, you know, and have a little bit more broader appeal. The next three songs, he kind of gets a little deeper in his sound and some of the formats that he's done before. And I think, yeah, like here, like Stevie gets to really kind of like show that sound he brought to the sessions. And you kind of wonder if Bowie was just kind of like, you know, do that, you know, Texas blues rock thing you got there.
Oh, yeah, I think that is why. I mean, SRV said he just would look at him and say, I just want your licks, man. Like, I just need you. Like, yeah. I just need those blues licks that only you can just give me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and you're right. He definitely, in those last couple of tracks, he really starts to kind of explore it a little bit more, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of sound, and have a little bit more fun with it. But yeah, Criminal World, love the track. Next song, Cat People. So this is one that was, he had done, I guess, the year before from the movie yeah. Cat People. This is a Giorgio song. Giorgio did the lyrics and the music, I think, for the film. And so this was David Bowie's version of it. Classic Stevie Ray Vaughan licks in it again. This song is actually used in Inglourious Bastards too.
Oh, nice.
Quentin Tarantino, yeah. And so I'm gonna go ahead and start it now. It makes me think of Billy Idol, kind of like the Rebel David Bowie sound a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
Cat People. Fire with gasoline.
Gasoline, baby. This is one of those songs, you know, he's done a lot of movie songs, and, you know, at first you can kind of dismiss movie songs because they're either really hit or miss. But this movie, I actually remember seeing it, and it wasn't that good. It was really weird.
I've never seen it.
But, like, this is the best part.
Yeah.
Is the song.
Yeah. Sure.
And I don't even remember even the song being in the movie, but I think I did watch it, like, late at night in college and just remembered that, you know, it was, oh, Bowie did the song, so I got to check out the movie.
Sure.
But I think it's blistering. Like, Stevie Ray comes in there and just lays down those chops, and Bowie's at top form.
Yeah, I think it actually lifts off into those coming up right here.
Young Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I mean, yeah, right.
Imagine having that in the studio. You've got, like, okay, I got Omar Hakim, I got Tommy Thompson, I got, you know, these fantastic drummers, and then, you know, I met Stevie Ray Vaughan at a music festival or whatever, like 9 months before.
Mantra Jazz Festival,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and
right.
It's like, hey, let's work together.
Yeah.
You know, that's
had to chase him down for a year. The story goes, he had to chase Stevie Ray Vaughan down for a year before he finally, like, hopped on the record. But yeah, yeah.
Thank God he did.
Outrageous, yeah. Outrageous. And this is fun because, you know, I didn't know that he was on this album, so now to find out, it's like finding a hidden, like, gem, right?
See,
like,
I didn't tell
like,
you.
Like, these are, like, the lost Stevie Ray Vaughan, like, tracks.
It
whatever,
is.
You know?
It
really is.
And I don't think I told you when, because I was like, I wanted it kind of be a surprise.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
You know, once you start digging in, you're like, oh my God, Stevie Ray Vaughan's on this album.
It blows
I remember,
you
but up. I do remember telling people that had written it off.
Sure.
You know, and saying, like, you should really listen to the whole thing. Stevie Ray Vaughan's on it. It's fantastic production. Yes, it's not,
you won't,
you know,
hate
Ziggy
it.
Stardust or anything like that.
You
but
won't hate it, though.
Yeah, it's so strong.
Yeah, very strong. We'll hop into the last track. So the last track is called Shake It. Very, very, very 80s feel at the start of it. Nile Rodgers all day. The female backup singers give it such, like, a yeah. hot, like sexy feel.
Kind of like
to
Young
it.
Americans.
Yeah, I mean, the girls are singing Shake It, Shake It, What's My Line? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. We'll just, I've just, on that one, we'll just start it.
Take it, what's my life?
a sailboat. Yeah, so, and that song, it's a great kind of like into the album. A lot of fun. It has all the elements that the album had, and you can kind of tell what they, as far as like what they wanted to project to. I feel like it was all concluded well in Shake It. So, yeah, super 80s, really, really, really fun, and
it's got a little bit of that Niles influence in there big too, time. With the keyboards and the bass.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Strong one to close it. So yeah, so that's last track was Shake It. The album is Less Dance, David Bowie. We're gonna take a quick break. Brian will be right back with
Daft Punk,
Random Access Memories.
You're listening to The Album Swap.
And we're back. So now we're going to dive into Daft Punk, Random Access Memories. This is their fourth album. Came out in 2013, so 30 years later than Let's Dance. For our, you know, going back to our teaser tips.
There you go. There you go. Nice use of math, math right there.
Math, yeah. I'm all into the numbers.
Yeah.
So Daft Punk came out with this album. They collaborated with a host of people. As we talked about earlier, Giorgio Moroder, Pant the Bear, Julian Casablancas of the Strokes, Nile Rodgers, Paul Williams, Pharrell Williams. The list just kind of goes on and on. As you mentioned earlier, won the Grammy for Best Album. I think, and that was almost like a bit of a shocker from like a pop cultural thing that electronic band had earned it. And like I even kind of felt the same way, but yet when I listened to it, I kind of understand why it won.
Yeah, and I think it might have been a surprise to that point, but looking at everybody else that year, they were clearly like that was the best album. You know what I mean? Like I thought that was like it was already done before they opened the envelope kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like it was a surprise, yet in the sense that it was an electronic band, I guess, but they were so much better that year than everybody else.
Get Lucky was the big hit, and a lot of people probably just listened to that, and that was it, including myself. And I kind of dug it, and I remember when I saw the video and I saw Nile Rodgers in there, I was like, oh, awesome. You know, they kind of brought that old school guitar sound back. And prior to that, you know, my knowledge of them was mostly Defunk off their earlier album back in, like, 2007 or whatever.
Yeah, six or seven.
Yeah. And, like I was telling you earlier, like, I liked it because it kind of had a bit of that Art of Noise experimental rock to it. And for being electronic, it wasn't, like, too electronic and too, like, just dance beat of, like, doosh, 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 you know. So
they do a really good job of kind of finding that medium. Not being too electronic, and in this album especially, they really went away from that. It was all live instruments that they recorded, and then went and you know did their magic, I guess, and came out with their songs. I think the only electronic part was like a drum machine or something, and maybe some like auto tunes. We mentioned that on the vocals.
Yeah, there's some auto tunes. It's interesting you mentioned the drums. So one the other teaser tip we threw out was Omar Hakim. The drummer. In reading about this album, it said that his collaboration with them was that they had certain beats they wanted him to create, and then they were going to use that in their library to build, you know, the final song.
Yeah, they were giving like sheet music and some.
Yeah, they were giving him sheet music and kind of what they wanted, and then he would record it and send it to him. So he didn't really
not knowing what they were going to do. Either.
Yeah, that's not so knowing, cool. that's something that in a lot of the stories that the composer or that the contributors did. Mentioned that they kind of gave them a loose outline or idea of what they were doing, but kind of wanted that person to contribute something, I guess, you know, very honest and from their end, and then they were going to craft that into their song.
Yeah, for sure.
So, again, this album sold a ton, and as we all know, Daft Punk, we know who they are. They're two French DJs.
They're robots, man.
Try and
they're robots.
Pronounce their name, but they have a public persona of robots.
They're not real people, man. They're robots.
And I think the robot part is really cool. I think they do it well. Like, it's very slick. It doesn't seem hokey or stupid, like, you know.
Yeah, because it's about the music. I mean, they're trying to remove the kind of that
fame.
Know, yeah, the personal glory. Like, they're trying to remove the face from it. It's a just, you know.
for whatever it matters, they're robots making the music. It's all about the music.
All right. And so since it's all about the music, let's get to the music.
Let's get to the music.
The first track, Give Life Back to Music. I think this is it's a great first track. It kind of sets off the kind of West Coast tone that they want to capture on this album. And of course, we got Nile on guitar with that kind of 70s groovy chic sound. So let's dig right into that. Got that funky guitar sound, and then you got a little bit of the Daft Punk guys coming in on the auto-tune vocals.
Oh yeah.
And it's groovy, it's jazzy.
It's a nice mix of all this. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. So I thought it's just a straight, great start to this album.
It's a toe-tapper, man. It's a toe-tapper.
It is a toe-tapper, yeah. So you can definitely kick off a party with this.
Absolutely, yeah. You
know? So, and that's always a great sign. In fact, right here, the guitar work. Good times.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah, that chic sound.
Listening to Nile on the Collaborator recordings, it was interesting of him talking about like how like Good Times did influence like not just this, but Sugar Hill Gang and Rapper's Delight. You know, like that simple hook he did.
Yeah.
You know, kind of created a lot of the rap guitar and funk sound of the time. The next song, Game of Love. This song, you know, I could kind of pass over. It's a bit mellower. It didn't really grab me. The third track, though, is Giorgio by Moroder. And as we talked about earlier, Giorgio Moroder is the songwriter, famous composer, kind of pioneer of electronica. He won 3 Academy Awards for Midnight Express, and this song kind of has the sound of the Midnight Express soundtrack in it.
Sing. Songs. I would partially sleep in the car because I didn't want to drive home, and that helped me for about it.
So this is a really cool song. It's a long track, net 9 minutes, but Giorgio, he kind of narrates his life story, and it's an interesting story. It's a very earnest story. I really enjoyed it, and like I said, it had that throwback to the Midnight Express soundtrack that was really cool.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I know they asked him just to like record him basically, you know, reading his story, and he didn't do anything musical on it. Just read the story, and they were like, "Well, we got the rest." And yeah, that's kind of like tribute song is what it was. Yeah, it's great. It's a really really cool track. Really cool track on the album.
I also did look up some of the other people he worked with. He composed for Donna Summer, Janet Jackson, Blondie. He wrote Berlin's.
This is Giorgio. Right.
Giorgio,
right.
Yeah. He wrote Berlin's huge hit, Take My Breath Away. And looking up all these collaborators, what was interesting is how many of them have Grammy or multiple awards. So he actually has 2 Golden Globes and a Grammy, and the Grammy from this album, of course.
Oh, wow.
And so this is the part where it really gets like, we'll play just a sample where it sounds like Midnight Express. I think that's awesome how it kind of like it's very similar. It kind of pays homage to that sound he created, because when he wrote that in like 78 or whatever, it was, you know, it was cool electronic music of the day.
Oh yeah. Yeah, pioneer would be the term I would use.
He also did another fun fact. He also did the music for Scarface.
Oh wow.
Which is pretty kick-ass.
Did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. I really thought this song with Giorgio's collaboration was amazing. The fourth song, Within, it's a beautiful song with nice keyboards, but it didn't really grab me much. The next song, actually, Instant Crush, was a collaboration with Julian Casablancas, who's a singer for the Strokes. This song reminded me a little bit of Every Breath You Take, but for the most part, I didn't really get the vocals and stuff they were doing with them.
Yeah, so they use auto-tune, I think, on the vocals. It's kind of, I don't know, leaves a little to be desired there, I think.
Yeah, and so then they kind of hit the middle of this album, and they bring in Pharrell and Nile Rodgers, or Pharrell, I think, on this track, Lose Yourself to Dance, and they kind of get back to the much more kind of upbeat dance kind of track stuff. I thought this track was really good. Like, the backing vocals come on real strong around the 150 mark. I mean, Fred, what did you think of this? I think
so. This is one of my favorite tracks on it. Lose Yourself to Dance. Yeah, I love. I just like the way Pharrell's voice kind of goes with it. It does kind of go back after. You're right. Like the couple tracks before this, actually, I mean, track 3, 4, and 5 don't really have as much kind of that fun kind of danciness.
Yeah.
As this one kind of gets back to, and it's not as high energy as some of the other ones might be, you know, but because this isn't like really up tempo, but it does have a nice nice stomp energy to it.
Yeah,
that you just
nice
want to, yeah, you just bob that head to it, and then next thing you know, you're boogieing down.
Yeah, see that come on vocals. Yeah. I thought like that's where I really like where they bring in more of that like electronic sound.
Sure.
To accent it a little bit. I think it sounds really cool. That's Lose Yourself to Dance, the first track that they have Pharrell lead on. The next track is Touch with Paul Williams. So this I thought was just an amazing song. It's got, you know, a bit of a jazzy sound, very heartfelt beginning with Paul Williams singing. You know, but I kind of feel it has a contemporary feel, like the mix in the middle comes in and kind of brings it to a very, you know, contemporary sound. It's a long song. It's 8 minutes, so we'll play just a few teasers. So let's listen to the beginning a little bit just so you can hear the tone it sets. So after a very interesting beginning, this song has Paul Williams coming in on vocals.
And you're a rather big Paul Williams fan, right?
I do like Paul Williams. He was a huge artist of my time. You know, I saw him earlier. I remember seeing him all the time on television, in movies, doing like The Tonight Show. Best quote I saw was he said he did 48 Tonight Shows. He only remembers 6. And, you know, he had a drug and alcohol problem, and he said he also had a fame problem, and one of the things he liked about working with Daft Punk was that he liked them, you know, keeping their identity anonymous so that it wasn't about them and it's more about their art and their craft. So I thought that was really cool.
He's definitely one that would get that.
Yeah. So
Touch. Pictures came with touch, a painter in my mind. Tell me what you see, a tourist in a dream, a visitor, it seems, a half-forgotten song. Where do I belong?
You know, Paul comes in there.
Almost sounds a little Bowie-like with his vocals.
Yeah, he's got, you know, I never thought he was a fantastic singer as much as a great songwriter.
Sure.
But he definitely, I think now I appreciate him a little bit more as I've gotten older, that he seems to bring the emotion as a songwriter and now somebody that's lived a, you know, long life to the song. And I think that's what he does here. He brought it in, and in the notes or the recordings he had, it was very interesting. He said that it was very fun for him. He went back into the studio that was A&M Records, where he got his start, and where it was also the Jim Henson studio where he did all the Muppet movie soundtracks and all that. And then, you know, again, I looked up a little bit, and it's amazing. You know, I knew he'd been in Smokey and the Bandit and all that, and Planet of the Apes. But now he does, like, the voice of Penguin on the Batman animated series.
Still very active.
Yeah, he's still very active. He's actually won about, like, half of the EGOT awards. I don't think he's won a Tony or an Emmy. He got an Oscar for Evergreen from A Star Is Born that Barbra Streisand sang, and then he got a Golden Globe for that as well. Wow. He's in the Songwriting Hall of Fame.
Decorated dude.
He did stuff for everybody from Elvis to Sinatra, Willie Nelson, you name it. He wrote songs for. So, you know, prolific entertainer, I think, that had been around for years. And in this part, like, they even get a little jazzy with it, you know.
Very jazzy.
Yeah, and this is the part I was talking about, where they kind of bring it to today.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, this is just, like I said, I love this song. I love that they got Paul Williams in there. I think they do a fantastic job of having him come in and really being that singer-songwriting storyteller guy that he is. And then it's got that jazzy sound. It's got, you know, some of the auto-tune that bring it to kind of keep them in line with what kind of their genre is. So I thought it was one of my favorite songs on this. So after that, you have the big hit song, Get Lucky, with Pharrell.
This was record of the year too, right?
I believe
so. Grammy record, yeah.
Song of the decade.
Yeah.
So, again, if you don't know this song, I don't think you're on the planet 2 years ago.
Right.
It's a great pop song. Really shows cases off Pharrell and Nile Rodgers, No Doubt.
Wait, No Doubt was on it, too?
No, I mean...
Sorry. Gotcha.
In fact, my comment on this is it's an amazing pop song.
It is. It really is. It's a great track. I mean, I still listen to it.
I'm not going to go deep into Get Lucky. I think everybody's experienced it for the most part. The next track is Beyond, which I'd like the beginning of this, and we'll listen a little bit of it because it's got like this movie soundtrack sound to it. It's like coming attractions.
It really is. Yeah.
it's a cool song and all that, but I'm gonna hop on to Motherboard. This is a pretty cool song. I thought it was actually cool right around the 140 mark, where the strings come in and give it like a lot of depth. So that's Motherboard. You know, it's kind of like a short kind of electro symphonic piece. You know,
yeah.
Got the water sounds at the end. Pretty cool. Then they go into Fragments of Time. This is a really cool kind of poppy sound. The vocals are really cool. And as we were saying earlier, this song really kind of captures that 70s sound they wanted to capture in the studio. Thank you. But yeah, it definitely sounds like Fleetwood Mac.
Very Fleetwood Mac-like, yeah. Like a more modern kind of sound to it.
So I like the vocals that come in right here. Yeah, I mean, that's just awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was where they really, they nailed it.
Nice groove. Nice fun groove.
Yeah,
to
it's fun groove. From here, they go into Doing It Right with Panda Bear, who is an American musician, songwriter, and
Animal Collective,
co-founder
right?
of the experimental pop band Animal Collective.
Yeah, that was read straight from Wikipedia.
It was
right?
straight from Wikipedia. I'd not heard of Panda Bear.
Yeah, no, Panda Bear and Animal Collective. Yeah, he's yeah, cool dude. This is one of my favorite tracks. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. So I think what's really cool about this song is it has a basic melody and it just repeats it, but adds in a lot of cool layers. Oh yeah, and sounds. Every single loop, they just add a little bit more to it, and it builds up to a pretty rocking song too.
I could see why it's your favorite song on this.
Oh yeah, yeah, Doing It Right.
And then so the final track is Contact. This is a really cool song. It's co-produced by DJ Falcon, and it has a sample of the song We Ride Tonight by some Australian rock band. Yeah, so this, you know, it almost sounds like David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's from, like, fighter pilots seeing, like, a UFO or something. I think it's actually from radio.
So I like this song because it kind of has that space age feel to it.
And then it drops, yeah, right. It's very spacey.
So, yeah, I'd say this song almost reminds me of, like, it builds up like you're taking off in a rocket ship.
Oh, yeah.
From the planet. And the drums kick in at this part. That's just awesome. This song, again, it's almost like a space odyssey, but like an electronic version.
Has
of
a
it.
Very space feel.
Yeah.
Very space feel.
And at the end, I was wondering, so do you feel like it like almost crashes and like you're left with this kind of distorted.
Sure, like static. The very end of this track. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah, well, I haven't really thought about it like that. Yeah, it definitely does kind of leave you with a little fuzzy headed feeling, right?
Yeah, that's it. 13 tracks, so it's a long one, but a great album, as we said earlier. Earned Album of the Year Grammy. That's it for Daft Punk Random Access Memories, and we'll be back with our ratings and hashtags.
Right back.
Stay tuned for more Album Swap.
And we're back. So we're going to go ahead and score the records. We do scores from 1 to 10 using All the points, so fractional, decimal points.
Fractional counts.
Yes, all of those count. We'll also give a hashtag that we've created based off of whatever we felt like moved us after listening to the album. So I'll start it. David Bowie, Let's Dance. I gave it an 8.8. Strong. Real strong. And I mean, this is one of the, I don't know, one of my favorite albums I've listened to in a long time. Like, I've listened to it out of all the other albums we've swapped. I've listened to it probably twice as much as all the other ones. I'm trying to find it on vinyl because it's just like and the whole like Stevie Ray Vaughan element. Like,
yes,
you almost feel like you found like these hidden like Stevie Ray Vaughan tracks, and it's it just, I don't know, it carries a little bit more weight. It's kind of a little more special because of that. And yeah, just a really incredible album. So 8.8, hashtag is Hidden Electric Treasure. So hashtag Hidden Electric Treasure, because yeah, it's a hidden electric treasure. Not so much that it's like, oh, it's electric, because it's electric. It's awesome. Album's great. So yeah, David Bowie, Let's Dance, 8.8, hashtag Hidden Electric Treasure.
It's right. Electric. Don't touch it or you'll get shocked.
It's electric. Boogie, woogie, woogie. What you got for the score for Daft Punk's?
So for Daft Punk's, so I battled with this a little bit. I liked all the songs on it. There weren't any that I didn't like. There's only points of times I was saying earlier that like maybe the auto-tune I didn't like that much. But the fact that it's a Grammy winner and all that kind of bumped it up.
The quality's there, right?
Yeah, the quality's there. And actually listening again even today, really liking a couple of the other songs even deeper. So I actually gave it an 8.89.
Ooh, very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
So
This is strong.
The hashtag, I was messing around with a couple different ones, but I settled finally on Space Age 70s, because it kind of has that 70s sound, but it has a contemporary space age that we live in today.
It's very spacey. You feel like you're in space, flying around out there.
So I thought, I really liked it. I liked it more. Like I said, my only knowledge before was the stuff they put out years ago, which was a little bit more like Art of Noise, which I love, but I thought they'd gone a little more dancey after hearing Get Lucky and all that, figuring, you know, well, you know, hey, why not? You know, there's a lot of discotheques out there that need music to play every night, so
it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, it's not as dancey as I thought it would be. It's got some dance songs on it, and I like that. You know, I like it to have a little funk and move, and then, but it's got some really cool deep songs that are really great.
Yeah, so. No, it definitely does. Both top-notch albums, for sure.
Yeah,
so closing out, we just had one little thing we wanted to mention. Chuck Berry passed away this past week. It was definitely within
the last episode.
Yeah. So just kind of a tip of the hat to a legend, I guess. We don't really have anything special to say. Did you prepare anything? You said you were going to write a poem.
No, actually, I think John Lennon said it best, that if you had to find another name for rock and roll, you would call it Chuck Berry.
Boom.
You know.
Yeah, that's all that needs to be said. So RIP Chuck Berry. Other than that, that's all we got. Check us out for the next one, episode 5. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. What else are we on?
Tumblr.
You can
Album Swap.
You can listen to us on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play now, and albumswap.net.
SoundCloud.
Also check that out. SoundCloud
and albumswap.net.
Albumswap.
Go to all of them.
.net. Albumswap.net. Check
like,
it
follow,
out.
Friend.
Yeah, like, follow, friend. All of that. And thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We'll check you guys and girls later.
You have been listening to Album Swap. Visit albumswap.net for all the latest episodes.